Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke. We're in chapter 13. We pick up in verse number 10 today. We've been preaching through this portion of Luke's gospel, and we come today to a message that I've entitled The Bondage of Hypocrisy. If you've ever been a hypocrite, say amen. If you've ever been a liar, say amen. We've all dealt with this issue, haven't we? Sure we do. Being something, saying something else, saying one thing and doing another. The bondage of hypocrisy. We find it today in Luke's gospel, and we begin in chapter 13 in verse number 10. Jesus gives us two things in this passage. First of all, there is a divine encounter. G. Campbell Morgan wrote a book entitled The Great Physician. And in his book, he goes through the Gospels and he gives the teaching of every personal encounter that Jesus Christ ever had. He deals with this one. He deals with Zacchaeus up a tree. Certainly deals with Peter. Everybody that Jesus encountered one-on-one. G. Campbell Morgan wrote that book entitled The Great Physician. You encounter people one-on-one. That's why we're encouraging you to invite them to come here on Easter weekend, either Saturday night or Sunday morning, 9:15. Don't forget 15 minutes early, or 11 o'clock as we gather together on that Resurrection Sunday. Today we have one of those personal encounters, and then included with the personal encounter, we find two parables. And you think, well, those don't go together, but oh, I believe they do. So let's look together today at Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning in verse number 10. You follow along as I read, because this now is the Word of God. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. Can you imagine how she shouted in the synagogue that day? 18 years she's been walking like this. Been over in the synagogue. She'd come to church and she's like this. She's been over. She's got a spirit of infirmity. The only time she looked like everybody else is when she sat down. You know, you can come to church and be bent over with infirmity and sin and sickness and look like everybody else when you sit down. But when you get up and go out, your sin is still a burden and a broken bondage within one's life. Verse 14 says, but the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd, he ran to the pulpit, and in response, there are 6 days which work should be done. So come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered and said, you hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And he said this, or as he said this, all of his opponents were being humiliated. And the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. So he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leaven. And then we find the next verse that he's gone and passing through the city. In this text, we find two people that are in bondage. Number one, this woman for 18 years been over with a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus comes and touches her, but he did it on the wrong day of the week. For the Jewish people, for the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites, but for the common man, they had a shouting spell in church that day. You see, they'd been coming for 18 years watching this lady walk in, all been over, and that day Jesus touched her and she stood erect, and they were glorifying God and she was shouting the praises of Jesus the Nazarene. She had had a touch. As this song said the girls were doing, there comes a time of bondage and it seems like you can't go on, but then God touches you and you get set free. Some of you are bound up today. I've got good news for you. If you'll come to Jesus, if you'll run to Jesus, he will free you. The Bible says in this text, woman, verse 12, you are freed from your sickness. But there's a second person in bondage here. This synagogue official in verse 14, as soon as that woman started praising the Lord, he leapt to the front of the synagogue and he said, wait just a minute here. There's six other days to get healing. You can come on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. But don't come on the Sabbath. There's other days to be healed. You see, he had bondage too. He wasn't bent over in his spine. He has been over in his heart. He had a spiritual issue too. Jesus rebuked him. He said, did you untie your donkey this morning? Did you let your donkey get a drink of water and something to eat? He didn't answer, but of course he did. The donkey meant money to him. Let me tell you, the donkey meant more to him than that woman with an infirmity. He had a spirit of bondage within him. And Jesus used a word to describe him. You hypocrites. Now the word hypocrite in the Greek language is exactly as it is in English. We just transliterate it right out. It's that same way, and the English rolls it right out. It means a play actor. It means a stage actor. It's a pretender. Hypocrites. I don't know about you, but I invite people to come to church on Easter, and they say, well, I'd come, but you know, the church is just full of hypocrites. I say, well, amen. Thank God that's where they ought to be. Now, they ought to repent and get right, but they do come. We got them. I've been one. I am one from time to time. There's hypocrisy in my life. But that's no excuse for you not to get right with God. But you know, sometimes our hypocrisy becomes a stumbling block to those that need Jesus. And this man is bound up as a hypocrite. You know, hypocrites love to emphasize the external, but they demagnify the internal. They put a spotlight on rules, but not much on relationships. They're big on style, but not much on substance. They're all about the place called Olive, but oftentimes they're not big on the people that really are Olive. You see, a hypocrite pretends what they don't possess. A hypocrite pretends what they don't possess. They look the part, they talk the part, but they're a fraud. The bondage that is in the church of hypocrisy. Well, Jesus, all of his ministry, contended with hypocrites. If you try to live with Jesus, you'll contend with hypocrites. If you try to lead a church, you'll contend with hypocrites. You try to lead a class, you'll contend with hypocrites. Now, I don't know who this guy is, and I'm probably going to get in real trouble for saying this, but I'm just going to jump right out there in it today. I watched a little golf on Friday. And old Tiger Woods did real well. His problem was he moved, but it wasn't moving day. You see, Saturday's moving day at the Master's. He moved on Friday. He floundered on moving day. He may yet win, but he backed up yesterday. And I just put this on Facebook. Tiger Woods is making a charge on Friday. And somebody got on there and said, you shouldn't be pulling for people like that when there's Christians to pull for. I didn't respond to that. I just left it alone. But boy, some folks just had a war over that. They went to firing missiles back and forth. Well, I didn't mean that, but I meant this. And I just sat there like a smug Pharisee. I wasn't getting in that. That was over my pay grade. I just made a statement of fact. Tiger Woods made a charge on Friday. It's true. I didn't say I was for him. I didn't say I was against him. You know, it's pretty easy to get self-righteous. It really is. How's your hypocrisy? Are you pretending what you don't possess? Jesus contended that all his life. Three contentions I want to show you Jesus had this morning. Number one, I just want to make these three statements. First, Jesus has power over every bondage. Can I get a witness? I don't know what your bondage is. You may have a spirit of infirmity like that little woman. You may have a spirit of hypocrisy. I don't know. You may have another bondage. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus has power over every bondage. Now keep your finger right there in chapter 13 and go to the left, back to chapter 4 of Luke. Just a few pages back. In Luke 4, and look at verses 18 and 19. Here's what Jesus said. He said this in Luke 4 and verse 18. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He said, I've come to preach to the poor, to the captive, to the blind, to the oppressed. Every kind of bondage you can think of, Jesus breaks the bondage. I don't have time to deal with all those. I want to pick on the last one. Preach the gospel to the poor. We got poor people here this morning. Renee and David prayed about that. He sent me to release, to proclaim release to the captives. We got people that are captivated here. We got people that have been in jail, just out of jail. We got folks that are captivated not by prison bars, but by sin's prison. Recovery of sight to the blind. We've got people that need a physical healing. We've got people that cannot see the God of this world nor the God of heaven, because the God of this world's blinded their eyes. And to set free the oppressed, that's what I want to talk about for just a moment. You ever had the bondage of oppression? Let me use a different word. You ever had the bondage of depression? Winston Churchill called it the black dog of depression. Most great leaders deal with it. Spurgeon dealt with it all his life. Churchill dealt with it. As a matter of fact, Winston Churchill said that the black dog of depression so got on him that when he was going to ride a train, he would never stand up next to the rail. He always would back up against the wall waiting on the train to come. He said, because I never knew when that black dog of depression may so get on me, I just want to throw myself in front of the train. You ever been oppressed? Ever been depressed? You ever get to the place, I'm just at the end of my rope? Why do we come to depression? Why do we have oppression in our life? Well, we're asking the wrong questions most of the time. We're not saying, how can God help? We're saying, why I can't. Most of us just get that on us, and the devil will trick us, and we just say, I can't. And we'll give several reasons we can't. Number one, some of us will say, I can't because of the way I look. Teenagers big time on this today. I just don't look right. I don't look like everybody else. That's why the people that are straightening teeth today are making millions. I'm not against straightening teeth. I'm for them. I'm just here to tell you, you can straighten your teeth and still have a crooked soul. I don't look right. I have those marks on my face, or God forbid I have freckles. I was told when I was a kid, if you put a buttermilk poultice on your face, they'd come off. And I'm here to testify they won't do it. You won't smell good, and that's over either. People get depressed because of their looks. They just think they don't look right. Some people get depressed because of their accent. Speak with others and make fun of them, the way they talk. Some people are depressed because of their lack of education. You know, if I could just get a diploma, I can't because I'm not educated. I can't because of money. I'm just down because finance. I lost my job. And I can't. Some people are down because of family. And my family doesn't love like everybody's family. And like David and Renee up here. And they prayed and they love each other. And we see them, their kids. And they've got a good family. I don't have a good family. And we get down and depressed. And we just say, look at me. I've just failed. I've failed. You'll look at other people and you'll begin to say, I can't because I've failed. But look at people. Preacher, you're doing well. And I'm sure there are no failures in your life. Let me tell you, friend, if people are drawing breath, they failed. Everybody deals with failure. All of us. I want you to know today, Jesus can set you free from that. The same thing he said to this bent over woman, he said to her, you are luo. That's the Greek word, luo, L-U-O. It's just a little word, but it's got big impact. You are luo. You are free, free, free indeed. You won't see freedom, bless God. I wish some of y'all would stay around for second church today that hadn't got to run off. I wish you'd come sit right here in this section. Tonight's Karis House graduation. If you can come, you ought to be here. You'll hear some of the most fantastic testimonies tonight of luo, free. These girls will sit in this service. They'll sit right over here in the second service. They're all in Sunday school right now. Those girls in the Karis House will sit right here. And you can mark my word, Dr. Day. You can mark it down. When these two ladies sing that song about, I didn't think I could make it, but God set me free, they will stand and shout. They will shout. Why? Because they have been luo, set free. I was out here at the ballpark yesterday. I come by on Saturday every now and then. I love to come to Olive on Saturday. I don't have to work. I'm not charged anything. I just walk around. People say, well, you know, this doesn't work. I said, don't talk to me. I said, well, I'm my son. I said, don't talk to me. Man, I'm just here. I don't have a kid playing. I just walk around. Usually it's just great encounters. Yesterday, one of our ladies that's graduated a couple years ago out of the Karis House, I saw her coming by with her kids. She had her kids involved in Upward. They played. She came by, and this particular one, she's just very grateful, and she came by and she hugged me, and she put her cheek against my cheek. She said, Pastor, I love you. Thank you for the ministry of the Karis House. She knew what luo was about. See, she used to be a drunkard and used to be bent over and bonded. Drugs in the streets of New Orleans, and God stood her up erect. Now, I'm here to tell you, Jesus has got power over every bondage. I don't care what you're walking through. You say, preacher, I'm in that depressed state. I'm not just going to tell you to straighten up. Depression is a deep hole. It's a dark dog. It's a black dog. It'll eat you alive. You can believe the right thing, but your feeler will not feel right. I'm here to tell you, you cannot trust your feeler. You've got to trust your faith. When it's not so, count as if it is so, nor it might be so. I entered saw a lady this morning. She was walking in. You know how everybody does. Morning, John. How you doing? That's what we all say. How you doing? Brother Jerry, how you doing? How you doing? This lady, I shook her hand. I said, how you doing? She looked right at me and she said, normal. I said, I have never heard that. Next person came by. And I was just shaking hands. And they said, how you doing? I said, abnormal. How you doing today? I'm telling you, friend, the truth is, I'm as fine as Jesus is fine today. For me to live is Christ. Jesus is in me. He's my hope of glory. I don't live by how I feel. I'm here to tell you, if I live by how I feel, I'd be sitting up there this morning. I would never come down here. I liked it up there. Felt good up there. Wasn't any pressure up there. Matter of fact, I probably never got there. I just stayed home to bed. Didn't feel like it. Alarm clock went off way early this morning. I said, I ain't going today. Liz says, you got to go. You're the pastor. I said, I'm not going. Easy. Now, I don't make fun of depression today. My sweet wife's walked through it. When I've tried to walk with her, I hadn't understood. I'm telling you, depression is a black dog. But Jesus is sufficient to set you free. Amen. He has power over everybody. Number two, I want you to know there's a second thing about the contentions of Jesus. That is that Jesus has enemies. Now, not everybody's on his side. When the Lord made this statement about this woman, the verse says in verse 17 of Luke 13, and as he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated. Isn't it amazing that somebody'd be against Jesus? But Jesus got opponents. He's got opponents in two fields. Number one, he's got political enemies. When you get on down to the end of this chapter, in chapter 13, you get to verse 31, the Pharisees came to him, and look what it said in Luke 13, 31. Just at that time, some Pharisees approached, and they said to him, go away, leave here, because Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, Jesus did, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll reach my goal. The Pharisees were lying to him, but they said, Herod's going to kill you. Let me tell you, Jesus has got political enemies. Friend, if you stand for Jesus, you'll have political enemies today. There are people in the political realm that are against Jesus. Not all of them. I'm just telling you some of them. There were 68 new congressmen elected in the last election. 16 of them are Southern Baptists. I don't know them. I don't know if they believe the Bible. I don't even know if they go to church. It may all be hypocrites. I hope not. I hope they're full of the Holy Ghost. We've got great men and women, but I'm here to tell you there are political enemies to Jesus in the world today, and you got to be wise to discern who they are. But honestly, you got political enemies. Those are easy to deal with. They're religious enemies. These are the folks Jesus had most of the contention with. Are the religious enemies that come against our Lord. And he speaks about them in these two parables. Now, most people think these parables are positive, but they're not. They're negative. Jesus asked the question, what's the kingdom like? He said, first of all, it's like mustard seed. It's the smallest seed. And when that seed grows, it makes a shrub. But in this text, it's abnormal. It becomes a tree. And all the birds come and nest in its branches. He is not saying the kingdom comes from a little thing and becomes a big thing. What he's saying is that in the kingdom, there are those that pervert true religion. And many people feel it. You see, mustard seed will not make a tree. It makes bushes. But these birds come and then leaven. Leaven is never positive in Scripture. Now, if you say, well, it's a little leaven, it leavens the whole lump. But every time you will find leaven in Scripture, it's negative, negative, negative. A little leaven does. I'm telling you, friend, it can happen at Olive Baptist Church. You let just two or three families get negative and get together, and they can come and put the leaven of disunity and corruption within the body of Christ, and it'll spread like wildfire. That's why you got to be very careful. What you say and how you present yourself. Leaven becomes a picture of religious animosity to the Lord Jesus. Now, keep your finger just right here at Luke, and I want to take time. I got just a minute. I want you to go back to Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 23, I want you just to hear this. Jesus dealt, this is the hypocrisy chapter in Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, Jesus spoke to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. And he said to them in chapter 23, beginning in verse 13, look at this. He says, woe to you, Matthew 23, 13. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Why? Because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. Look in verse 14. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses for a pretense. You make long prayers, therefore you receive greater condemnation. Verse 15. Woe to the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites. You travel around the sea and make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Verse 16. Woe to you, you blind guides. Move on down to verse 23. He says, woe to you, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin. You can see them. They've got the herbs out and they're saying, this many for the Lord and this many for us. But you neglect the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Look at verse 25. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. Look at verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which are on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones. Verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous to say, if we had been living in those days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in the shedding of blood of the prophets. Hypocrites, 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 hypocrites. Jesus deals with them. Let me tell you five things about hypocrites. Number one, they're big on church and small on character. They're big on church. They want everybody to come to church, but they're small on character. Number two, hypocrites are big on money, but they're small on ministry. They want everybody to give, but they don't want to do much. They're big on ceremony, but small on content. They're big on duty and small on discipleship. They're big on talking and small on walking. That's who hypocrites are. And those people are the enemies of the Lord Jesus. He contended with them all his physical life on earth. My challenge to you today is don't be a hypocrite. Don't do that. Don't become, as he said, like a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. You know, the graveyard's one of the prettiest places in town. It really is when it's cut and cleaned. And the perpetual care means they care for it all the time. Ongoing. You just stop by. But if you dig down in there, oh, it's full of dead men's bones. The church sometimes can get like that, just a whitewashed tomb. Full of dead man's bone. Jesus contends with hypocrisy. But there's a third thing about this contention. I want you to see that very quickly. Last thing, I want you to look down in the last part of Luke 14. Or in Luke 13, when you get down to the very end, there's a third thing I want you to see. Here's what I want you to know, is that Jesus cares for us. Jesus even loves hypocrites. Jesus cares for you. Look down in verse number 34 of Luke 13. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. I wanted to. I said to you, come, come. But you would not have it. Jesus said, come to me. Come, come. But you wouldn't have it. In March, there was a movie hit the theaters. I have not seen it, but I have watched clips and read reviews. It's entitled Limitless. Some of you may have seen it. Eddie Mora is the man you see standing there. That's his stage name. One of the greatest actors ever on the screen, Robert De Niro, is behind. Eddie Mora was a writer, but he had writer's block. You ever had a job to do and you just been blocked and you just couldn't do it? He had writer's block. He's a writer, and everybody keeps saying, you got to have the manuscript, you got to have the manuscript, you got to have the manuscript. And Eddie Mora says, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And the guy brings him a little pill. And he says to Eddie Mora, if you'll take this pill, most of the time we only use 20% of our brain. But Eddie, if you'll take this pill, you'll immediately be using 100% of your brain. And Eddie Mora takes the pill. And in 30 minutes' time, he's got blood surging through his mind. He's got thoughts he's never had. In short order, he turns out the manuscript, brings it, and puts it on the table, and it is phenomenal. It goes into his relationship abilities. It then comes into his finance, and he takes a few thousand dollars and makes millions. The problem is the little pill he's taking in the movie is called NZT. And while NZT causes the mind in this fictitious movie to blast at 100% of usefulness, it's also killing you on the other side. And at one point in the movie, De Niro comes to Eddie Mora. And Mora says this to him. In his lostness, in his vileness, he says, the only thing that can save me is NZT. And I don't know what you say today, but there are people who look me in the eye every week and say, preacher, the only thing that can save me is, and I'm telling you, if anything other than Jesus is in that blank, you're at best an idolater, or at best a hypocrite, and worse, an idolater. I'm telling you, the only thing that can save us is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus the Nazarene. Hollywood would have you go for a couple of hours and believe in fictitious screenplays that this pill can do it. But what happens is that teenagers and adults alike walk out of that movie thinking there's got to be something. There's got to be something. There's got to be something. There's got to. There is something. But it's not something, it's someone. And his name is Jesus. The hypocrites nailed him to a cross. The Pharisees took his life, but God touched him and raised him from the dead. And he lives even today to break the bondage. Break the bondage in your life and in mine. Today he's waiting. The Savior says, oh, I like a mother hen, I wanted to get the brood up with me. I wanted to get, but you would not. Jesus says, oh, but if you would, if you'd come to me, I change you. I'll take you. I'll relieve you. I will break the bondage that's in your life. Whatever those chains are, come today, and I'm telling you, Jesus has the key to unlock that for you. Don't be a hypocrite. Be sold out to Jesus Christ.